shine, little Rover, glimmer, glimmer, leap.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and I'm here with one of our local favorite gardeners and fellow worm, Amber Kleinman. Good evening, Amber.
Good evening, Jill. Thanks for having me.
Glad that you are here. I know there's some exciting stuff. Spring's right around the corner, and I'm anxious to pick your brain on what's going on in your garden.
Yeah. Well, I guess we could just talk about today, because it was a lovely 55 degrees out there.
No kidding. I really didn't realize it till I walked out the door, and I was like, what?
Whoa. Yeah, I know. You're surprised there's still snow on the ground, because you think it should be all gone if it's 50, but no, it's lovely. And I put the shade cloth on my greenhouse today.
Oh, really?
Which is something I typically do in the first week of March. But this winter being what it is, I just decided to jump in and do it because
a little bit early.
Yeah, a little early, but this time of year, with all the sun and the warmth, you know, it warms up the greenhouse and the fans start to run. And so I'd rather not, you know, waste electricity when there's not like a whole lot going on in there. So I put on the shade cloth first week of March every year, pretty much, to reduce the heat.
Right. So you're starting your projects already. You were out there today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it never stops when you have a garden.
It doesn't. It really is all year round.
Yeah. I could work every year. It's been an interesting winter because it's been so dry that I've been able to get out and do things in the middle of February that I don't normally do until March.
Right.
So, and then the snow comes and kind of chases me back inside. So.
It's a nice balance. Kind
of, yeah. Yeah. It fits and spurts. But,
yeah. Hey, let's give the phone numbers because we love it when people join the conversation.
Yes.
527-486-8166, KVNF now. Dryness, is your ground frozen? What are you feeling about what's going on your land there?
Yeah, it's not frozen. I don't really touch it when it's this wet.
It's pretty wet out there.
It's pretty wet, and the snow we have is slowly sinking in, and I want to give that all the time to kind of just percolate down through the soil and just soak up as much as it can before I disturb any of it.
Sure.
So I don't even walk in the garden. I avoid being where the soil's really soft so it doesn't get compressed.
So you're working probably on some other maintenance type projects.
Well, I'm looking forward to the new challenges of the year, and one of those is raccoons for me.
Oh yeah,
I'm on a creek, so I get a lot of visitors at night. And last year, the raccoons won, and they got most of my strawberries.
Oh,
and that's
okay,
such a bummer. So this year, I have a new plan.
I'm anxious to hear this because we're right across the tracks from each other. And those darn raccoons have been visiting me.
Yes.
And so now I know how I'm going to protect my strawberries. What are you doing?
Well, this is my new plan. I am going to transplant all my strawberries into a row and do the walking strawberry idea that Lance brought this up sometime in the last year.
I remember it.
Basically, you plant your strawberries in a row, and then you let the runners on one side run until they slowly walk in one direction. And that way they have fresh soil and they have fresh plants, and they kind of stay as strong. If you keep using the same strawberry year after year, it gets woody, and it doesn't put out the same like fresh, strong strawberries as a new plant would.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, so so I'm transplanting them in a long row, and I've decided to, I mean, I've tried a lot of different types of fencing, and that just hasn't worked because raccoons are climbers. And so they will just climb over that fence. So what I'm doing now is I am constructing like these half tubes. I buy that 100-foot like roll of 4-inch welded steel fencing. They can get it like a Home Depot.
Okay.
You can get a roll of it for like $100, and you can cut it up to make various trellises or tomato cages or what have you. And it's like a 4-inch square steel wire mesh. And then I'm cutting a couple of rows of it. So it's like a 5-foot long tube, half tube, with about a 15-inch wide base, and it's about 10 inches high. So it's a it's kind of a half tube that's going to sit over the row of strawberries.
And it's, oh, gotcha. Yeah, okay, now so that makes sense.
Yeah, so the structure of it is the steel, and then I cover that steel with a poultry netting. And then stake it into the ground.
Who's going to win this year, Mama?
Yeah, this is my really? Newest thought, and I just made this up this week. But so they're like 5 foot long half moon tubes that I'm going to pound into the ground
that they can't pull out.
Yeah, and the strawberries will have plenty of room to kind of grow into full on strawberries, mm-hmm. but they won't get their little hands in there.
Nice.
So so I have like a probably 35 foot long row of those. In process that I'm putting together. And on top of that, with my motion detector sprinklers, which I highly recommend for anybody who has raccoon problems or deer problems. They work day and night, and they have solar ones now. So you just hook them up to your hose, not irrigation water, but your hose from your house. And they charge all day because they're solar. And then they go off for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, just
every time
quick
they
blast.
Sense motion, and it's loud, and they spray with water, and it has worked in the past to keep away lots of little urchins.
Yes, this is a critter patrol secrets right here.
Yeah. And so you got a lot of critters, like I do, other than planting extra to lose some, this is my. My strategy.
Taking it to the streets.
Yeah. I'm just laying it down.
Right on. Get it. All right. 527-4868-1866 KVNF now. Now you're transplanting your strawberries into a row. Any secrets on transplanting strawberries?
They're pretty easy. Mm-hmm. Strawberries don't really care that much.
Easy to move.
Their root system is really shallow. So as long as they have good nutrients in the top couple inches of the soil, they'll just settle right in.
Yeah. Okay,
not
good.
Not at all worried.
Good stuff. Yeah. Do you have any other tips if we're not out there able to build these half pipe steel cages over some of our plants? Because you've got the motion detector sprinklers.
And right.
What about people that are putting in, young trees and stuff? Any thoughts on deer repellent type?
I put the 4-inch steel fencing. Wrap my trees with that too, because the deer come and they use their antlers and they just break branches and all of that. So I just put a little fence around all my trees, usually in the winter. Like that's when I have the most problem is when the deer come through in the winter. In the middle of this, in the spring and summer, I feel like they go to the high country and they're not around quite as much.
Right, exactly. Plenty of food up there with the snow melt.
Yeah.
That sounds like a handy piece of
I use it
supply for... to have around.
That's why I recommend it. It's like, $99 for 100 feet of it, and it's just
really versatile easy to use.
Yeah, I make lots of trellises with it. I make a tomato trellis that goes down the row of tomatoes. That's just like I just fold it in half, like V shape, an upside down V, and put that over my tomato plants and let them weave into the mesh. And so this is a 5 foot high roll, and so when you cut the piece and fold it in half, you have a 5 foot section, however high you want it to be, folded over in an upside down V over your tomatoes. So I can just put it on the tomatoes whenever they're tall enough.
Really helps to support those babies in a nice, lush.
It's like a hedge.
Right. A hedge of beautiful tomato plants.
Yeah. So that's all happening.
Good tips here.
What else is going on? Oh, outside, I've got garlic, but that I haven't seen yet, which is good.
Okay, yeah. A couple weeks ago that I think his white something garlic was showing up. I mean, it was popping up. So you're not seeing that.
Seeing it yet because I didn't water it in the fall because it was so warm. I didn't want it to get started so early.
Okay.
So I just waited and left it dry, and I expect it to be. Little green shoots any day now. But.
Yeah, we're like less than a month till the first day of spring. I mean, we're pretty close.
Yeah, true.
Hard to believe.
Yeah. I also have a winter rye cover crop on the garden that's I haven't seen much of it. Once again, I didn't water it because I didn't want it to jump up. I guess it's winter rye. It doesn't really matter. But didn't water that so much. So I expect to see that coming up. I'm also going to throw out some peas for a cover crop. Mm-hmm. And I also have a bunch of reoccurring buckwheat that naturally comes up because I just have buckwheat going all the time in my garden. So with cover crops, it's important to have like as many types of cover crop kind of mixed in, like for diversity, for nutrients. Mm-hmm. If you can put, you know, three or more types of cover crops out at the same time, it's all the better.
Right. Some peas and buckwheat.
Some rye, some buckwheat. Mm-hmm. And then when that gets to be, you know, growing, you know, a couple inches tall, then I will broad fork that under. And so I don't till in my garden.
Yeah.
I haven't for years. And so I broad fork instead of tilling.
Right.
And just for people who don't know what that is it's like a very tall, it's about 3 feet wide and it's got really tall handles and it's got 10 foot long spikes at the bottom that are the fork that goes into the ground. Mm-hmm. And so basically you hold onto the handles and you kind of jump on that fork and kind of push it into the ground and you wiggle it back and forth and you just make kind of the holes, you kind of crack the soil and then you pull it out and you move like 5 inches forward and you do the same thing, you rock back and forth. And so you're just opening the ground and you're not turning it over. And that's important because your soil has like different layers, and in it is the bacteria and fungus and earthworms, and they all have it kind of striated the way that they want it to.
Yeah. Yeah,
and when you mix it all up like a blender, it kind of ruins your soil structure. And when you leave that alone, you get so much free labor out of your worms and mycology and your bacteria, mm-hmm. that it's worth leaving that intact just to have all that working for you naturally.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to describe it, really, because you're leaving kind of that community intact and just giving them some
breathing room.
Yeah,
a little water.
Yeah,
but there's a whole ecology happening. Mm-hmm. It's best just not to touch it if you can.
A whole ecology happening there.
Yeah,
and I would imagine that it leading to healthier soil over the years that you're broad forking rather than tilling, probably pretty darn easy to work that thing because your soil health is so much better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's getting better. The first time I broad forked, I didn't think I could do it because it's clay around here, you know, and it's hard. It's good for the arms, though, you know. It's like CrossFit for gardeners. Like you pull, you know, you jump on it, you pull it out of the ground a foot, and it's good work for the guns. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. We got a gun on the line.
Oh,
it's Jer phoning it in.
Right,
hi, Jer.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good. So what's happening out there at Earth Friendly?
We're getting ready for the big season, but you know what you guys were talking about there. We sponsored the Soil Health Conference and had a booth down there this week.
Yeah,
and a lot of that no-till stuff you were talking about, and the soil food web and the microbes, and some of the information that they gave at this conference was pretty crazy. How much more production you can get out of, you know, a field if you have a living soil system.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that pretty much was what the conference was about, is soil health.
Yeah. You know, but, I mean, they were talking about just the bricks in the feed alone would give you, you know, like they were getting twice the amount of weight gain per day on their cows and stuff. Like, it was unreal. Wow. Just by having these fields that were microbially active. So,
you know, some of those fields, I think they talk about at the soil conference, are pretty big fields. They're bigger than our mm-hmm. gardens. And so,
we're talking some acreage here. Yeah.
Yeah. So Amber's talking broad forking, which is great. You know, individually you get back to the land and you're breaking up that soil. But what do you do on a large acreage like that?
What they're talking talking about is planting a diverse amount of cover crops.
Yeah. Okay. Just what
we know, and then having not only a diverse, you know, plant biology there, but also, you know, one way that they've talked about is having diverse livestock, mm-hmm. where they're mm-hmm. all at different heights, and so they all kind of eat things of different heights.
Yeah.
And then they were also talking about, like, don't worm your cattle.
Yes.
Because then the dung beetles will come back. And when the dung beetles are out there breaking down the dung, it creates this whole other microbiology.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty interesting stuff.
So. Fascinating.
Yeah, dung beetles work it, man. They they live for that stuff.
Yeah. More dung beetles.
Yeah, right.
Word. I know, it's such awesome stuff we talk about on the worm.
Yeah, right on.
I love it.
Hey, what kind of tools you got out there, Jer, that you got some broad forks out there? I mean, now's the time to be stocking up.
We have some digging forks, but we don't have that big broad fork. Mm-hmm. I'm looking into those, actually, but that is a pretty neat tool, absolutely. We have all the tools to get your seed started, so... That's what I'm getting into here right now.
Yeah, that's the next thing.
Yeah, it's getting close.
We were just cleaning out the greenhouse and sterilizing everything and getting ready to go.
So when you say sterilizing, you mean the soil? Or are you solarizing your
like our trays and just wiping down the greenhouse.
Sure.
Okay.
You know, cleaning it up.
Yeah, exactly. I have to do that myself.
Yeah, and Amber just put her shade cloth on, so you guys kind of thinking the same. You got some greenhouses out there. Jared?
It's warming up. It's mm-hmm. warming up, indeed. I think we need to get going maybe a little early this year, too, because it's looking like we're going to have pretty limited water resources.
Right.
Even though we've gotten some wetness here, and I agree with Amber, I try to stay out of the garden right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let that water soak in.
Mm-hmm.
But we're probably going to have limited water resources, so you might want to get those gardens going early.
All right. Good tip.
If you're gardening off of irrigation water.
Yeah. Right. Pretty nerve-wracking right now, but
mm-hmm. it is.
March can be a big snow month, even April. So
it's generally our biggest month.
Yep.
March is our biggest month.
Oh, here we come.
Pray for snow, lady.
That's right.
That's right.
All right, Jer. Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling in.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Have a good night.
Good. Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right. 527-4868-1866. KVNF now. I think that's the name of the game, and it's one of the best things I've learned from hosting this show is how important soil health is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of ironic that you want to do less.
Yeah. You want to let it do its thing.
Yeah, you kind of don't mm-hmm. touch it. It's the, you know, you can till it and you can feed it and you can do all this thing, but it doesn't actually benefit you. You
right.
could just throw some cover crop down and fork it in, and that's probably the best and easiest thing to do.
And that cover crop thing is amazing,
it
and
really
I'm so
is.
Glad you hear so much more of that happening.
Yeah,
really
and I'm
doing
glad
that.
It's hit mainstream and mm-hmm. larger farms, and mm-hmm. and it seems like they're really catching on.
Yeah.
So
great.
That's wonderful.
All right, Amber, I wanted to ask you about other things going on in your garden. And do you do compost? You know, Lance is always talking about compost. What's your method?
Yeah, I do. I try to just collect compost from wherever I can.
Uh-huh.
I'm not all that picky. I have some chickens, so I use that a lot.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Lots of straw along with it. I live next to the Forest Service, so I'll go over and clean up after their horses sometimes and get
convenient.
That, you know,
yes.
whatever is mm-hmm. free and available,
mm-hmm.
As long as they haven't wormed, you know, you want to check to see if the animals have been wormed. You don't want that immediately because that'll kill any worms that come into your compost pile.
Yeah, interesting.
So you gotta be a little bit careful about the timing of your manure pickup, but...
Mm-hmm.
And then I just have a lot of vegetation in the yard. I just am continually cutting back and piling in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just I just put it in a pile, and then, you know, I'll do sometimes I'll do a biodynamic prep to the soil. Like, you can, there's a couple of different ways you can prep that, which is a whole like wormhole in itself, but it's a different kind of composting where you don't touch it, whereas a lot of people will turn their compost pile. So there's many different ways to compost.
Yeah,
I just kind of pile it.
You just, you just soak it over there.
Yeah.
Let it work itself
down. Uh-huh. And there's it's in an area that's had a compost pile for years. And so it's really established, and the worms are there and the bacteria's there, and it breaks down flawlessly.
Yeah.
So I don't have to work too hard
at that.
That's
pretty
either.
Darn nice. Yeah, that works great.
Yeah.
And that chicken thing always works. I know Lulu has chickens.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's like the magic ingredient
it
sometimes.
It really is. It really is. It's hot. You don't put it on immediately. You got to let it sit for a while because it is very nitrogenous. But it's great once it sits there.
Great. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, too. Oh, I'm going to give the phone numbers again because we love callers.
That's right.
527-486-8186 KVNF now. I wanted to ask you about flowers. You're going to do something different in your garden this year with flowers. Can you talk about that?
So, yeah, I want to add a pollinator garden to my garden this year. And it is, well, obviously the pollinators always need help and a more diverse options for flowers and pollens to choose from.
Sure.
So the more diverse the garden is, the more diverse flowers, the healthier that the pollinators will be. So I am going to go in and plant. There's some that are just ideal for pollinators, which like rapini, which is broccolini or broccoli rabi. So you don't, it's
as a
like
pollinator.
Little, so yeah, okay. So you don't, you let it go to flower. You don't eat, well, you can eat some of it, but you basically grow it up. It's a little tiny broccoli. And every one of those little, you know, broccoli round heads turns into a flower. And so as you can imagine, when that broccoli flowers, it's just hundreds of flowers. And that one's really good because it has, it's got 20 different amino acids that feed the bees, allow them to, their immune systems to be stronger. Phacelia is another one that's it kind of unfurls, and it's got lots of little tiny flowers on it. And so these are preferential to bees because the flowers open slowly all day, and there's fresh source constantly. Whereas when you have like one flower that grows up and opens, it has a certain amount, you know, and it's not like a constant fresh flower coming out. So these types of flowers, you know, the, what else? Borage is a big one for bees as well. Kind of more of a late season flower. They love borage. Echinacea, of course, is all summer long. Those echinacea blooms are just covered with bees. Buckwheat, I just let it continually reseed in my garden and come up because it doesn't shade. It's a very straight up and down plant.
Mm-hmm.
Puts out a lot of flowers. It doesn't really mask out other plants. So I just let it continually grow, flower, seed, and fall into the garden again.
And because it's a pollinator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if it gets to be too much, I just pull it out, lay it down. It becomes a mulch.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
Yeah.
Buckwheat's
really,
a good thing. Works in your garden well.
Love having the buckwheat. Mints are also a really strong, tiny little flowers in the fall as well. Thousands and thousands of them. Of course, mint is not something you want to plant just anywhere. It tends
be
to
careful.
Take over. So be very conscious about where you plant mints.
Maybe in a steel
have,
cage.
Like, yeah, maybe in a barrel or, you know, keep it contained because it does send runners up and it'll be everywhere before you know it. But there's a lot of, you know, non-GMO beneficial bug mixes out there. If you look in any seed catalog, they have them and you can just pick up a packet and they,
and it's a variety.
It's a variety.
And it's easy to plant.
Yeah. Just broadcast it out after the first frost or the last frost and, watch it grow.
That is a great idea, and thanks for sharing that. You know, Jeff in the control room was saying he's seeing bees on his silver maple already.
Yes. Yeah, and so I have some bees at my house, and they have been active all winter this year, and that's very unusual. Typically, they'll go into a cluster in December and stay there until like the middle of February. I don't expect to see them flying for at least a month and a half to 2 months.
Wow.
This year, they have flown every warm day that we've had, which has been all through December, January, and February. They never went into dormancy, as far as I can tell. And so, I mean, I took pictures of them on January 1st.
Oh, my goodness.
Flying.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
what does that mean for them?
Well, it means that hopefully they had enough stores for the whole winter. Mm-hmm. Because when they go dormant, they don't eat,
okay.
Which is great because they don't have to have a whole lot of extra honey. But if they never go dormant and they don't ever cluster, then they keep eating all through the winter and use up a lot of stores quickly. So if they are packed with honey, they're probably fine. But if they... You know, if somebody took the honey in the fall and left them without a lot of stores, then they're going to have to start thinking about feeding their bees because they've gone through all their stores at this point.
Yeah. What is something we can do to feed the bees early season right now?
Plant flowers.
Plant flowers.
Yeah. Don't mow your dandelions.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
dandelions
are the – when I start to see dandelions, I know it's like we've made it.
Nice.
Because that is the first – good food plant for bees. And so it's unfortunate people will spray their dandelions because bees go right to those dandelions. That's what they look for in the spring. So dandelions are early, but like he was saying, the silver maple tree puts out the first pollen of the season. And, you know, the first or second week of February, I started to see pollen coming in from... That's a light yellow pollen from those silver maple trees.
Silver maples, huh?
So, yeah, that is the first pollen that those bees find.
So they're eating. And, you know, one thing I like about this town, Paonia, is when the dandelions go, it is so gorgeous. There are so many dandelions here. It's fabulous.
Yeah, I love it too.
Yeah. All right. We could take one more call, 527-486-8166, KVNF now. You mentioned another thing. You've got some projects going as far as, same with Jared, cleaning out the greenhouse, but kind of checking your, getting ready for canning. And
I go through my freezer and make a list of whatever's left in there, frozen. I go through all my canning and make sure I know, you know, what to go through because it's time to start eating that stuff up, you know. And I also go through my seeds and do an inventory, see what I need to order or if I'm lacking anything, and just kind of get a sense of, you know, what needs to be eaten, what needs to be ordered, and that
now,
kind of thing.
Do you plant according to what's still left in your refrigerator, or do you try to really plant and eat and then just go for your new summer project? Does that make any sense?
I think so. I try to... really dial in my garden as to what we eat.
Yeah, sounds
like
it.
So I don't want to have too many extra, you know, tomatoes that I don't get to. So I kind of have a sense at this point of how much to plant of each thing.
Yeah, you seem like you've got that down pretty good.
Pretty good. But, you know, but you always get surprises. You know, you always have you know, crops that don't work. And
right.
So.
Or people that eat your candied treats.
Yeah. Yeah.
That are so good and yummy.
The strawberries go away. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this year you're going to have even more food because you're going to win the raccoon war.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for you.
Okay. I'll have to give you the follow-up as to if that works or not.
I'll probably see the results. They'll be running over to my house looking for things.
Looking for your strawberries.
I'm going to have to get some of that wire mesh. Thanks for sharing what's going on with your garden. And I love this, you know, your cover crop advice and this pollinator bed, because in the soil and the broadfork, because it's really all about diversity. Isn't everything better with diversity?
Isn't it?
Everything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with you there.
I know. Hey, I want to give last call for apple grafting and pruning. Fourth annual apple grafting and pruning workshop is this Saturday, March 3rd, and that's put on by the San Miguel Basin CSU Extension and Apple Corps Project. So they only have a few more spaces, and you can call 970-327-4393 for more information. It's this Saturday.
Oh, is that up on Rogers Mesa?
No, this is actually in Redvale.
Oh, Redvale.
Yeah,
oh,
so you're going to do grafting, and then they're going to do a pruning demonstration, and they also give you lunch, and you get to take home some trees with you.
Ooh,
so sounds like a great, fun time.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. Amber, great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks, Jill.
And I know we'll be talking over the summer and have you back.
Excellent.
And Lance is back next week. We're going to start with a discussion on seed saving.
So, oh, good. He's the master.
Yeah, it's going to be the seed saver.
I'll be listening.
All right, thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KBNF. It's One Woman's Perspective coming up next. Good night.
Oh, who you're about to make a sign to? I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.